To be here, you might expect a missionary to say this, but I say it from the heart. This is one of my favorite churches to visit, and appreciate the ministry here and the blessings that it has been. And we especially appreciate the opportunity to be able to stay in your mission apartment. That is a tremendous blessing, and we want to thank you for that. In your Bibles tonight, if you turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, we're going to be looking at some verses in chapter 29. And as we think about the graduates tonight, can't help but think, you know, as I was thinking about it, the graduates would think that I graduated back in the dark ages, and it probably was. It was 1960, and we had one phone in the house, and it had a tail, and you couldn't take it out of the room. So no matter where you were, upstairs, downstairs, in the basement, if it rang, you had to go to the phone. And you know what? We did just fine. Things have changed so much. But as we speak to the graduates tonight, and of course to each of us, I'm going to use a passage from Jeremiah that was actually given by Jeremiah through the Holy Spirit to Israel. They had been taken into captivity, and they had been told they were going to be there for 70 years. And they had had some false prophets telling them that they would be delivered quickly. And for our graduates tonight, I just remind you there are always false prophets in the world. We need to be very careful as to who we listen to. But God gave them this passage of scripture, and we're told that the things that were written of old was for our learning. And so we want to make an application tonight and trust it'll be a blessing to you as we do that. As we think of this, Jeremiah 29, as you turn there, we'll read it in a moment. But I would remind you that God knows what is going to happen. Amen? Amen. God's never been surprised. And he knows the choices we are going to make. And even those choices won't surprise him. And yet, saying that, I believe tonight that God's will, or the plan of God, as it's set forth by God for our lives, does not mean that all of our actions are scripted by God. Nor does it mean that we are robots without free will. I wish all of my actions had been scripted by God. But unfortunately, some of my actions were scripted by me. And those are the ones that have got me in trouble down through the years. So God's granted us freedom. And what a freedom it is that we have the free will to make decisions. But God's a great God. We couldn't begin to overemphasize his greatness. And he knows how things will end. He knows the choices will be made. For example, he knows whether or not you'll accept him as your Savior, if you're not saved tonight, or whether you reject him. But either way, God has a plan. And I believe it would be God's will for you to trust Christ as your Savior. Amen. He wouldn't have sent him otherwise. God didn't ask, as these folks were sacrificing in being in captivity, God didn't ask them to sacrifice without some promises and some assurance. So read with me in chapter 29, verse 11, down to the first part of verse 14. The scripture says, "For I know the thoughts that I speak, that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord." Let's pray. Father, bless the message tonight. We ask it would be for your glory and for our good. We pray for our graduates. They face, as believers, they face a hostile world. We just ask that you would use our time even to encourage them tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we look at this particular passage of Scripture, it's a wonderful passage of Scripture on the love and the mercy of God. And as we look at it, I want to see how this message could affect you and I today, particularly our graduates. And the first thing that I want to see with you tonight in this passage is the message of hope, the message of God's revelation of love, God's mercy. And so the first point tonight for you who are graduates, whether it's high school or college, is this: God has a plan for you. Do you believe that? God has a plan. Now the question is whether or not you will follow God's plan or follow your plan. I can tell you, I graduated in 1960, so a few years have gone by. I can tell you from experience, God's plan is better than my plan. And so God has a plan for you. He says in verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God has a plan. Tonight, graduates, as you step into life, you've graduated from high school, you who are graduates of high school, some of you are here that graduated from college, and you may have some plans of your own. Perhaps some of you that are in high school graduating but plan to go on to college. And I would remind you that if you go to college, be careful of serpent-isms. Now, serpent-isms are things that the serpent would say. And Brother Monk did a wonderful job this morning in his message, but one of the things he pointed out, one of the serpent-isms can be found in Genesis early. And that is, hath God said? Did God say that? And you'll find as you go out into the world, whether it's college or whether it's watching the news or whether it's on the job site, that there will be those who will say to you, did God really say that? And we today, and we could take time tonight and talk about the things that the world is saying that God didn't say. But I want to remind you that God's word is eternal and it doesn't change. And it doesn't matter what someone says about it, God's word is still true. And so it's easy when we want to do something ourselves, it's easy for us to accept someone else saying it doesn't really mean that. But I want to remind you tonight, while God has a plan for you, his plan is not for you to be involved in sin. His plan is not for you to reject the word of God. His plan is not for you to go your own way and do what you want rather than what God wants. God has a plan, and God's plan is always the best. I want you to know that God has a plan for you, just as he had for the nation of Israel. Again, in verse 11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord." God knows his thoughts toward you. Notice what those thoughts are: of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. God said, I have a plan, and there's an expected end if you follow that plan. And my thoughts for you is peace and not evil. Isn't it interesting that one of the things that we have to be concerned about in our daily life and as we go to work, as we go to school, whatever we do, is that people's motivation is in our best interest. And often it isn't. Often people have a motivation that's in their best interest. And individuals will say whatever they need to say to get you to do what they want you to do because they have a plan. God's plan is a better plan. And one of the things that Christians need to learn to say is no. We need to determine that we are going to serve the Lord. And I say this in this sense tonight, we need to make plans and make decisions now before we have to face the issue. One of the things as a chaplain with the police department, training. And one of the things they taught us and teach us is that we are to analyze and understand every situation we're in and reevaluate it continually. One of the problems I have after training, my wife will tell you, is we go to a restaurant. I need to sit where I can see the door. I need to be able to see what's going on, because I've been trained that you need to be aware of your surroundings and you need to make a decision what you're going to do if something happens. And young people, as you think of, as after graduation, you think of facing the world, whether in high school, out of high school or college, you need to make decisions that when opportunity comes, you know what you're going to say. You're not going to let emotion, you're not going to let hormones make a decision. You're going to make a decision that I'm not going to do this, or I am going to do it. You know, we have to make a decision what we're going to do Sunday morning. The decision's made. I'm going to church. Doesn't matter who's playing on the football teams. Doesn't matter what else is going on, unless I'm sick, I'm going to be in church. That's a decision I made years ago. We need to make a decision that as we have opportunity to sin, we are going to say no, because God has a plan for us. And His plan is not for us to become involved in something that is not going to be for our good, but is going to be evil in our life. We need to make decisions ahead of time. What are you going to do when temptation comes? Daniel determined in his heart. We need to determine in our heart. God's plan is not our plan. See, God knows the future. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what will happen if we do certain things. And tragedy often follows following your plan rather than God's plan. You know, it's interesting, down through the years as I have counseled and ministered individuals who have become alcoholics. Do you know, I never met a person that when they took their first drink, they said, you know what, I'm going to be an alcoholic. Never met anyone that planned on being it. But when you take that first step, you never know what the end is going to be. If it's not God's plan, if you do your plan, you may find the tragedy rather than what God said that He would give you, peace and not evil. Sin brings evil. I challenge you tonight, graduates, seek God's face. Seek God's face. Seek to know God's plan for you in your life. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, first of all, by reading the scripture. God's word tells us what His plan is for us. God's word tells us what we should do, and it tells us what we should not do. Don't trust anybody in this world to tell you it's okay to do something that God said it's not okay to do. God's plan is peace and not evil. Sin brings evil. You can seek God's face by reading His word faithfully, by studying it, by meditating upon it. The word meditating just means to think about it. You know, we think about a lot of things, don't we? How much do we think about the Word of God? How much do we think about what God says and God's direction in our life? You can know God's plan by beginning to live your life as God has called you to live it according to the Scripture. You can know God's plan. You say, I don't know where to start. Well, that brings me to my second point. God not only has a plan for you, but God has an ear for you. Verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. In this passage, God told His people that they should call upon Him. He said, you should go to prayer. And He said, I will hear you. How many times have I preached? Brother Monk's preached. Others, as we think of others who have preached, and we have left the pulpit wondering if anybody heard us. Never feel that way, you know. Did somebody hear me? I mean, I've actually preached a message on a particular subject and had someone come up after and ask me a question that I answered in the sermon. I think, you know, I want to say, weren't you listening? May I remind you that God always listens? How comforting it is to know that when we are trying to communicate, God is hearing. One of the problems today is communication and talking to someone and believing. How many times do I see people talking to someone and they've got their cell phone out and the other person's talking and they're doing whatever it is they're doing? You have to ask the question, are they hearing? Are they listening? Communication is the key to any relationship, and it's a key to your relationship with God. Prayer and God listening. Isn't it wonderful to have somebody who's willing to sit down and listen to you? Sometimes that's all we need. Often we think of, you know, marriage and husband and wives, and often I've told husbands, you know, wife really, she doesn't want you to give her a solution. She wants you to listen. And one of the problems we have is we listen to answer rather than listening to hear. God always hears. What a blessing that is. He's going to be there and hear your prayer during the difficult time. He's going to be there and listen to your heart's cry when you need to cry out. And when we face troubles in life, we want someone to share our troubles with. But the problem is, most of the time, there's not many who want to share troubles. You know, we meet somebody in the hallway of the church and we say, how are you? What's the standard answer? I'm fine, how are you? Now, that may not be the truthful answer. But the truth is, we may not want them to start telling us all the problems that they're having. And in a way, that's sad, because we ought to have the Samaritan spirit with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to be willing to sit down and take time to listen and to hear what they have to say and hear the testimony. But I want you to know that tonight, graduates and the rest of you, God always listens. You never go to prayer and God doesn't hear you. That ought to encourage you to pray. God has a plan for you, but God has an ear for you. And when you're not sure of God's plan, you can go to Him and talk to Him and ask Him and seek His will, and God will hear. What a blessing. God assures us that He is there and that He's listening. He's an active participant with His people. God takes the initiative. He said, call on me, pray, and I will hear. We need to have that promise today, because often we do not understand and we wonder whether God really hears us. But even if you walk away from a prayer wondering whether God heard you, God heard you. That's important for us to understand. Graduates, it should be comforting news to you. You have achieved a goal. You've graduated. You're having commencement. The word commencement means a beginning. When I was in high school, I thought graduation was the end. Boy, that just, it gets graduate. That's going to change everything. But you know what? It was just the beginning. And it is the beginning for you as well. You've achieved a goal, and yet you have so much more ahead of you as you continue in your life and as you serve the Lord. I call on you to rest in the promise that when you call upon God, He will listen and He will hear what you say. And not only does He listen and hear, but God answers. Sometimes we don't understand, but God answers. When we lay our burdens at His feet, when we seek His direction in our life, God not only listens, but God answers. Here's the key. You have ears to hear. you listen for God's answer to you. Now, he's not going to speak out of the cloud. He does speak through his word. But God has answers, but often we are too busy trying to find the answer somewhere else than to hear God. I heard the story of a man that fell off of a cliff and grabbed a limb. He was hanging on for his dear life, and he yelled, "Anybody up there?" And someone said, "Yes, so just let go of the limb." He said, "Who is this?" He said, "It's God. Let go of the limb, and I'll save you." He said, "Let go of the limb." He said, "Yes, let go of the limb." And the man said, "Is there anybody else up there?" You know, sometimes that's how we react when we pray. We don't get an answer immediately, and we want to seek somebody else to give us answers. Be careful who you get your answers from. If they're not giving you an answer from the scripture, you can be in a situation of receiving evil instead of peace. Not only does God have an ear for you, but we can all see that God has time for you. Isn't that wonderful? God has time for you. Verse 13 and the first part of 14, "And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord." God has time for you. You know, it's interesting that God will always be there for us. You never find God leaving his child. You find the child leaving God. I put a thing in the paper years ago. It was a man sitting in a boat out in the middle of the ocean. And it said, "You said you've drifted away from God. Who moved?" God has time for you. God will never leave you. He will be there for you. And when you call upon him, he'll hear you. We could all perhaps remember when we were children and sometimes something happened and we'd call out mommy or daddy and they would come running. As a parent, I know what it means to drop everything and go running to my child. When my son was 13, he was riding his bike and stopped to look into a ditch that had been dug, a 10-foot deep ditch, cut out of granite rock. And the ground collapsed under the front wheel and threw him headfirst into that ditch. And I was home. I'd worked all day at the church painting outside, and I had gotten a shower and was sitting there relaxing, and somebody knocked on the door and said, "There's a red-headed boy that's fallen in the ditch." And I don't remember, there's at least 300 yards from where we lived to that ditch, and I don't remember how I got there. I ran. I don't remember how I got into the ditch with him. It was deep enough that the fire department had to come and bring a ladder and get me out. But I remember him begging me to go tell his daddy, to get his daddy. He didn't recognize me. He had a rock go through the skull into the brain. And I remember riding in the ambulance to the hospital. And I remember a lot of those things. And he still carries the physical scar from that accident. He had a broken arm. He had stitches in the other arm. He had 4 surgeries in a year, 2 of them brain surgeries. And I remember all of that. But, you know, he doesn't remember much of the pain. But this he remembers, that mom and dad stood by him. And we were there for the 4 surgeries. We were there to take care of him during that time. And you know, that's how God feels about us. God will be there for you. May I repeat that? God will be there for you. Amen. If God seems far away, it wasn't God that moved. I love the story of the prodigal son, and when his father saw him coming afar off, he ran to him. You know, we often talk about, so folks, about coming to Jesus. But before they take the first step, Jesus has already taken the first step. He's already taken that. God feels about his children. He wants to be there for us. He wants us to call out to him and cry out to him, and he will be there. So graduates, God wants to be with you. God wants to have a part in your life. God's not a casual friend. God's a friend that's promised never to forsake you, never to leave you, to be there with you. You're facing a world, you'll be constantly bombarded by evil. You can rest assured that God has a plan. God has a plan, and it's not evil. The devil's plan for you is evil. God's plan is peace, not evil. God will be there. It's going to come times in your life, graduates, when the world will hurt you. There'll be times when things aren't going to go the way you want them to go. Times when you make feel like you're forsaken. But I would challenge you, it's a time to cry out to God. To cry out to Him, knowing that He will hear. And that you can feel His presence in your life. And that He's promised that He'll be there for you. That you'll never be alone. Cast all your cares on Him, for He careth for you. So I'd like to just challenge you tonight, these thoughts. God has a plan for you. Are you interested in God's plan? Or are you interested in your plan? Have you got your life so planned out that if God tapped on your shoulder, so to speak, you'd say, no, excuse me, Lord, I've got this planned out. I know what I'm wanting to do and what I'm going to do. Remember, God's plan is peace and not evil. God has an ear for you. He'll listen. May come a time when nobody else seems to listen, but God will listen. And God has time for you. He'll be there when you need Him. Study your Bible. Seek the Lord's will and seek the Lord's direction in your life, because His plan is for peace and not evil. I could spend a lot of time talking about individuals that I have come across in my life that they did their plan and the evil that came out of it. But you follow the Lord's plan and you'll have peace and not evil. God has a plan. God's listening. God's there for you. If you're here this evening without the Lord Jesus Christ, if you never accept Him, maybe you've got through high school and even college, but you've never been saved. God has a plan. He says, come unto me. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. God's listening here today. Isn't it wonderful that no matter when it takes place, when you cry out to God in salvation, God hears you? There's never been anyone that's honestly sought God that didn't find Him. God was there all the time. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't make a terrible mistake and go on in your life on your own. Only evil can come from that. God's plan is for peace. Turn to God, graduates, turn to God. Turn to Him, submit to His plan. Turn to Him in prayer, He will hear you. Turn to Him in your life, He will be there for you. May God use you in His glory, for His glory and in His service. Let's pray. Father, we commit the service into Your hands. We simply ask that which You promised will take place, that Your word will not return void. I pray perhaps someone here tonight that's thought a lot about what they've got planned, but they haven't spent any time thinking about Your plan, that tonight You might touch their heart, and they might just realize that they need to consider Your plan in their life, that their plan may not be the peace that they're looking for. Perhaps unsaved, Lord, I pray You'd convict them, and even tonight, they would trust Christ as their Savior. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.